Welcome to a new episode of the Rambling Jew. I'm the Rambling Jew, Michael Persky, and this weekend I will be discussing my years at the Christmas tree shop. And where to begin with that? So it's 2006, and my current job at the time was about to close, and I was looking at other places to work. And what happened was my stepfather saw that I was going to lose my job, and he sent me to the unemployment office to see if they could help me. And they stated that they couldn't help me since I'm still unemployed. And I described to them that my job at the time was about to close eventually. But like I said, at the time they said that they couldn't assist me with looking at another job because I was still employed by that company. So what happened that day, coincidentally, that same time I was there, Christmas tree shop was about to open up and they were looking for people to hire. So I ended up applying. I had a nice dress shirt, but wore jeans and sneakers to the unemployment office that day. And I filled out an application. I got called in. I was interviewed by the store manager, nice guy. And he said, all right, we'll get back to you in a week. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, within a week, they got back to me and said they were interested in hiring me to come to orientation. And I told my manager at the time that I just got called by this place. And he suggested I take it because he knew that they were closing it eventually. So I ended up going to orientation, got to meet people that I was going to work with and everything. And apparently they told me I wasn't going to be training at a different store. I was going to be training at the store they were opening where I was living. So that was good. I didn't have to go outside, you know, my city to go to be trained at another store. I was going to be trained at the store they were opening. So the orientation was great. I got to meet who I was going to work with. And they told me what department I was going to be working. I was working in home fashions, you know, like selling lamps, bed sheets, and pillows, and whatever else home decor needed, you know, consisted of. So I went there. They were training me before we opened, and I was working in home fashions for a while, and I eventually said, I wanted to change departments. So then they ended up putting me in receiving. Well, at the time they were looking for a processing team, so that's what I ended up doing. And I was with them for a while, and everything was going great. It was really nice to go to a job where I was happy and I wasn't stressed out and everything. I met a lot of nice people when I first started working there, and yeah, it was always fun to go to work. Of course, working receiving at the time was good. I wasn't really a receiver at the time. I was a processing team member. Basically, that meant that that consisted of processing merchandise that came off the truck on a table, price it, put it on a rack for the overnight team, and sorry about that, folks. Like, I keep getting distracted. My dog is eating something that he's probably not supposed to be eating. And I don't know why that's there. But where was I? Okay, so the processing team was, like I stated, things came off the truck, merchandise came off the truck, and we had a little table, and we priced the merchandise, put it on a rack, and put it to the side for the overnight team. We had an overnight team, we had a day team and an overnight team. And that was fun. That was always fun working with the processing team. And then, like I stated, I eventually got tired of that and asked to go to receiving for a while. And that was pretty much what I do now. I receive trucks, check in vendors, set up for the truck for the next day for the processing to come in and offload that. With receiving, I worked day and night. If I worked Monday night, I opened the next morning. If I opened the next morning, it was going back and forth, opening, closing for a while. And then I told him basically I wanted out of that. I kept going back and forth with different positions at my job because, you know, after a while you get tired of doing the same position. You want to go somewhere else and try and just a refresh. You want a refresh of your position. But yeah, it was fun working at the Christmas tree shop in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, I went on vacation with my mother and my stepfather too. He got one of those things where they give you a free vacation, but you had to sit at seminars and talk about, you know, buying houses and all that other stuff. I went with them for like a week. We spent like a day in Myrtle Beach and then the rest of the week in Orlando. Timeshare, that's right. He got one of those timeshare packages, you know, to get a free vacation, but you had to sit at a seminar and listen about buying houses and all that other shit. He ended up buying a house in Myrtle Beach, but then at the fall, like 2 days later, he called him and told him that he couldn't afford it. It was just too much and he wanted to cancel it. So he got his money back. So it was a waste of time. That's what he did. But anyway, during that time, I got a call from an associate stating that they let our manager go that hired me because he wasn't getting along with the district manager at the time, so they pretty much fired him. And I was devastated because the guy who hired me, I admired and I liked him a lot. Like I said, he's the guy who called me. He's the guy who interviewed me and called me and said I was hired. And he made sure that we were all well taken care of. And when I was on vacation, they let him go because him and the district manager had differences of how they wanted to run the store. And I was really upset about that. You know, I told my mom that, you know, they fired Rich. And, yeah, I wasn't too happy about that. I called him and he said, it's okay. These things happen. I was just upset. And, yes, at that job, I met my first girlfriend. And things didn't work out between us. And, yeah, that, too, got in the way. But I had some good times. I had some bad times. After that, management team wasn't really, you know, that good. They didn't really care for us, appreciate us. You know, they said they did, but they didn't. We all complained about management that, you know, they complained that they don't appreciate us, but they told us they appreciated us. And yeah, at the beginning, I got 25-cent raises, I got 50-cent raises, I got 75-cent raises. And then once they fired Rich, the raises decreased to like 20 cents to 15 cents to 10. I think I got an increase of 10 cents at one point. But then after a while, they went back to 50-cent raises. And I was told at one point that whatever raise I get was set. So if I had 75-cent raise at that point, that was it. I wasn't gonna get any less. I wasn't gonna get more. It was a set increase. Well, at that point, I met my girlfriend that I'm with now, and I was telling my job that I was discussing about I'm gonna be moving to Pennsylvania eventually, and I needed a transfer to another store. And they said, well, there's no Christmas tree shops where you're moving, but there's a Bed Bath & Beyond. Now, Bed Bath & Beyond own Christmas tree shop. But I'm jumping way ahead. So my years in Christmas tree shop were, I had ups and downs like any other job. But in the beginning, I loved going to Christmas tree shop because I liked my boss. I liked the people I was working with. The atmosphere was alive and very good. And then when Rich was let go, just the atmosphere was just killed. It was killed. I didn't like any of my managers. I'm going to be honest. I didn't like any of my managers. I didn't. I liked a couple of my fellow associates. I made a couple of good friends here and there. I mean, I was part of the crew, the processing team. We talked about everything. We talked about mostly wrestling. But when we didn't talk about wrestling, we talked about movies and everyday stuff and relationships and everything like that. And then I happened to meet my friend Steve, and then we started talking about wrestling and all the other stuff. And then after that, we after we started hanging out here and there, and they eventually let him go. I don't know why they let him go, but they let him go. But even after that, we started talking, and I had fun with him. Like, he used to ask me if I wanted to come over and watch wrestling events or go to Applebee's and get a drink at night after work. I said, okay. Usually after work, he said he was going to be at Applebee's, and I met him, and, you know, we drank and we talked about everything, wrestling mostly, and relationships and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. Christmas Tree Shop was, like I said, was good in the beginning, but was really shitty, like, later on. Like, the management team didn't really treat us good. I felt like they didn't treat us good. I mean, it's no secret that certain places your management team treats you like shit. Some places your management treats you, appreciate you. Some places they don't. Home Depot is a very different atmosphere than Christmas Tree Shop. Given that I get annoyed here and there and get stressed out here and there, the management team does take care of us. They do appreciate everything we do for them. And they do give us worthy increases. I mean, I'm making more than what I made from Christmas Tree Shop. I mean, you know, after serving a long tenure at Christmas Tree Shop, I was only making $11 for the years I've been with the company. I was only up to $11 an hour. And that's pitiful. The work I did there, I literally killed myself, pushed myself, busted my ass. I should have been making more than what I was making in Christmas Tree Shop. Honestly, I should have been at least making $15 by that point. For as long as I've been there. Because all the years that I worked there, I've seen a lot of managers come and go. I've seen a lot of associates come and go. Out of all that, I stuck by them. I stayed there. I busted my ass. I worked as hard as I could. And after my years of service, $11 an hour, that's all you could think of? Really? Was that what I was worth to you back then? Seriously. I mean, I'm going to air all my grievances about that. That's the biggest bullshit ever. If you worked for a company, and the company, I would hope the company would realize, gee, all these people have come and gone, but this guy right here, he was here from the very beginning. We should give him, he was here from the very beginning. He busted his ass. He always came to work. He never complained. He always did what he had to do. Let's give him what he's worth. No, that wasn't the case for Christmas Tree Shop. Their mentality was, and I think this, I'm going to just, I don't give a shit. I don't work for the company anymore, whatever. But I personally think, for what I've done with them, I've been there since that store opened. They didn't send me to another store to train. They trained me at that new store from day one. I was at that store from day one. Day one. They should have gave me $15 at that point. Yeah, seriously. I should have been at $15 by that point. Hell, maybe I should have been at $17 an hour at that point. I'm going to give myself more credit because I literally busted my ass at that job. And I hurt myself. I was hurt. I did this. I did that. I should have been at least $17 an hour but before I left Christmas Tree Shop. Yeah, I should have. I should have been at $17 an hour, not $11 an hour. Is that what I was worth to you guys? Now, mind you, they were owned by Bed Bath & Beyond, and that company was a good company. It wasn't like a Home Depot, it wasn't like a Target, but they were a very reputable company. They were buying Bye Bye Baby, they were buying Harmon's Pharmacy, they were buying all these companies, World Market. You mean to tell me they could buy those companies, but they couldn't afford better raises for their employees? That's bullshit. And now I heard that some of their stores are closing. Yeah. Some of the Bed Bath & Beyonds and I think some of the Christmas Tree Shops are closing. And you know what? Ha, motherfucker. Ha, ha, ha. And I heard one time that the Staten Island store was on fire, had a fire or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck? But, you know, maybe people won't agree with me. Maybe people might say, oh, Mike, you're out of line. You know, you can't be like, you can't think that. Why not? For the years I commended myself to that job, you tell me that I shouldn't have gotten more than what I'm worth. I shouldn't have gotten what I was saying that I should have gotten. Come on. everyone who knows me, how much I dedicated myself to Christmas tree shop. Everyone knows how much I committed myself to Christmas tree shop. I'm telling you, before I left Christmas tree shop, I should have been at least making $17 an hour. Yeah, I should have been making $17 an hour. Home Depot could afford that for me because that's what Home Depot thinks I'm worth. And you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate that Home Depot lets me know how much I'm worth. And that's very appreciative of them because they care about their employees. They appreciate the employees. Even if we don't get yearly increases, we get success sharing. Because if the company does good for that quarter, they give their employees success sharing pay. Whatever the amount is, they appreciate you for your hard work and services during that quarter of sales and everything like that. That's a very good company to work for. Home Depot. I mean, as much as I get stressed out with everything that goes on there and I want to change the apartment and yada, 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 the company appreciates you and sees what you're worth. There's none of that drama that they had at the Christmas tree shop. I don't even know what it's like there anymore because my mom says she went there a few times and she doesn't recognize anyone there. I wonder if they changed their management team since I've been gone. You know, maybe next time I'm up in Staten Island, I should go there and see the atmosphere, see who's there, see if I recognize anyone. Maybe I won't recognize anyone. Maybe I won't. But like I said, the years I've been at the Christmas tree shop, for committing myself to all that nonsense, I should have made more than what they were giving me at the time. I should have. $11? You think that I was worth $11? Like I stated, I was there from the very beginning, and they've never sent me to another store to train at. They trained me at that store, and I was a very good employee to them. I dealt with a lot of their nonsense over the years that I've been there. I have. And to say to me, well, after your years in service of here, you're only worth $11 an hour. I mean, I should have, you know, left after that, honestly. But I couldn't because I had no backup plan. But come on, I should have been at least $17 an hour at that point. But you know, they were just a horrible place to work for. They were. I mean, I had my good times. I had my bad times. I made good friends there. I had conversed with a lot of people while I was there. I met my friend Steve there, which I talked to here and there. He will even attest to anything that I said here. He would attest to the atmosphere of the Christmas tree shop because he worked there for a while too. He did. I mean, he had his issues with some people, but him and I were good friends. We conversed. I mean, if it wasn't for the Christmas tree shop, I wouldn't have never met him at all. I wouldn't have. But he worked there. And we became friends outside of work. I mean, I know I said I made friends there, but you know, some of them I didn't hang out with outside of work. Some of them I did. Steve, I hung out with outside of work. There was another associate, Greg, that I like talking to too. We talked about Disney. We talked about Funko Pops. We talked about movies. He used to take me to the transportation center when I was coming up Philip, PA, to visit my girlfriend. He invited me to his house for a barbecue. And then we still conversed. But Steve was my friend that I really conversed with outside of work. Because again, we were wrestling fans. he was a wrestling fan, but I would say he was more of a baseball, football fan. But again, we had one thing in common, wrestling. We liked talking about wrestling at the time, and we were both into WWE at that point. And whenever there was a pay-per-view, he asked me if I wanted to come over, or I invited him to my house to watch it too. You know, he got food for us, I got food for them, all the other stuff. I think I used to bring stuff when he invited me to his house to watch the wrestling events. I did. But he was a good friend. And it's just lately, we hardly talk to each other because he's he's got his own life, I got my own life, and we're really not into wrestling anymore. It's not as good as it once was. It hasn't been good for a while. I mean, given the fact that CM Punk came back last year, and I might have watched his things here and there, but it's not. It's just not what it once was. Like, if you go back to 2011, when he first won his WWE Championship, that from 2011 to 2012, that was great. Everything about that company was great. The promos were great. The storylines were great. And then for some reason, at the end of 2012, they just decided to, and we're just going to throw everything down the toilet and just fuck it all up, which they pretty much did. And then 2013 was meh. 2014 was meh. And then just went downhill after that. But, but like I said, Christmas Tree Shop was an experience. It was. Anyone would attest to it. I don't think I ever went before and aired anything. But the management team, I wasn't too keen on the management team towards the end of my tenure at the Christmas Tree Shop. Like, once Rich was let go by the company, I worked there. I still did what I had to do. I just wasn't feeling the same way as when I first started there. Because, like I said, in the beginning, it was great. It was a new job. I met a lot of people. I wanted to go to work because I like going to work. And then after Rich was fired, it was like, I mean, okay, I guess I'll go to work and, you know, work. It was. And I had my problems with my stepfather and everything at the time. But I now that I think about it, after I moved away, I understood why he was the way he was towards me while I was living there. He just wanted me to be, he wanted me to be a man. You know, an independent man, not depending on him and my mother to take care of me the rest of my life. He wanted me to be an independent man, be responsible for my own, for whatever it is, bills, buying stuff, supporting myself. I mean, I was somewhat independent. I knew how to cook for myself. I knew how to buy stuff for myself. I know how to pay bills by myself. I know how to do my own laundry by myself. I mean, but I understood why he was the way he was while I was living with them. It's the idea of, if I don't apply myself more, I'm going to be with them the rest of their lives, and they're going to have to take care of me and all that other stuff. I get it. And, you know, I wish, I never got to say thank you to him I never said to him, you know, Matt, I understood why you were the way you were with me while I was living with you. I understand that now. I never got to say that to him before he passed. I mean, someday, maybe I'll let him know. I'll talk to myself, or I'll talk to him and let him and say thank you to him. My mother said to me that he told her or me that he was proud of me. I don't think I recall him ever saying that he was proud of me. Maybe I do. Maybe just went over my head. But I appreciate that. But where was I? Oh, yeah. But Christmas Tree Shop, like I said, was an experience. It really was. It was a fun adventure. I mean, I went from Home Fashions to the processing team to receiving and then back to processing team. Like I said, processing team was merchandise that came with the truck. We opened up the boxes. We priced them, put them in baskets, and we put these notes on them of where they were going and how the merchandising team wanted them. And yeah, that's what we did on a daily basis. We did the truck in the morning. We got 2,000 piece trucks a day. and we just processed. I mean, if there was a shortage, if they weren't going to do any, if there wasn't an overnight team, if they forgot to do stuff, we put it on the floor. If there was nothing to do, we did what they didn't do the night before. We got all that stuff out. We merchandised here and there only when there was no trucks, which was rare. But there was always 2,000-piece trucks on a daily basis. And I worked the weekends too. It was an adventure. Like I said, the management team was meh. Everyone was complaining about the management team. No one was keen on the management team. We had a supervisor too. We had a supervisor that no one was keen on either. And I don't get it. He was out there. It's just, it was one hell of a roller coaster. And that was crazy. Pete was our supervisor at the time. Unfortunately, he passed away not too long ago, and it's very unfortunate. As much as we weren't keen on him, but that was very unfortunate for him to pass away, and, you know, sorry for the loss and everything. But yeah, a lot of memories from the Christmas tree shop. A lot of memories. I mean, we had half-hour breaks. We took 15-minute breaks. And yeah, we always talked about everything. Movies, wrestling, the processing team. Receiving, like I said, was different. You know, the vendors coming in, making a bale, throwing out the garbage. And making sure the truck was ready for the day crew the next day. Like I said, I opened and I closed. I literally hated closing and opening. Because I used to get home at like 10 o'clock at night, and I had to be up the next morning to go in. And yeah, that was fun. And then I talked to the vendors that came in, the Utz guy that came in, and the Pepperidge Farm vendor that came in, and the sugar-free cookie guy that came in. And yeah, I used to talk to a lot of people, a lot of vendors that I used to talk about. The trucks were good. The truck, I don't think I ever talked to the truck guys. I don't think so. I don't think I ever talked to the truck guys. And then the patio, oh my God. The patio season. Oh, that was so annoying. Most of the time, the patio sets weren't complete. The other day, we had to try to figure out how to complete the patio sets because the doorbell kept ringing. And we had some patio sets that were incomplete, and we had to figure out what to do with them. So whatever patio sets weren't complete, we put the stuff to the side, and whatever complete, that was just fun. And then the gazebo, we got awnings in. We had these big-ass long awnings that were a hot item. Oh, my goodness. I remember one day, we were getting a batch of awnings, and me, Pete, and somebody else were standing before the store was even open yet. And we were just hanging out there waiting to go in, and a customer was like, "I'm here first. I'm going in first to get the awning." And we were like, "We work here. Like, there's no need for that, people. There's no need to get all hyper. Like, we're going to cut you. We work here." I think we told them that we worked there, and like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, we work there. We work here. Like, relax. It's just a fucking awning. It's not that big of a deal. You're going to get your precious awning." Oh, and the tiki bars. Oh, my goodness. We used to get bamboo tiki bars. Ugh, that was another pain in the ass. Those boxes were big. Some of those boxes came in trashy and everything like that. They literally came in trashy. And the parts fell out. The screws fell out. This fell out. And after people were done with them, they used to bring them in, and they were all moldy because they let them out in the rain. Like, if it rains, you might want to do something with it, not just leave it out in the rain and then be like, "Oh." And we used to give them full credit. If the bamboo was $500, we gave them full credit. Literally, we gave them back full credit on their credit card, which is ridiculous. I would have given them a, I don't know what I would have done. And then somebody one time returned a teak patio set, actual teak patio set that was moldy and corroded. And we gave them, I think that was like a $700 set. And we gave the customer full credit of $700 back on their credit card. We gave them every penny back on their credit card, which is fucking ridiculous. Because I remember that set. I remember it was moldy and it had like dust on it and shit and stuff like that. And yeah, that was ridiculous. We always give people full credit whatever patio sets return. People always return patio sets after season, after leaving it out in the rain and letting it rust and everything like that. And then we had, okay, so during summer season, we had a patio truck in the back that we took stuff off, and we had like we rented a trailer, a storage trailer for the front of the store that we locked patio sets in too. And we had patio set, we had a patio display outside with everything. So I used to run that outside. I used to run the front of the store patio sale. So I stood out by the truck. Whatever needed to be filled, I filled. Whatever needed to be fixed and straightened out, I fixed. And whenever a customer came in, they gave me their ticket. And we used to collect their tickets. And we had a notepad with the customer's name. We used to say what patio set was. And had the customer sign it, and we put their patio set in the customer. If it wasn't in the back, the patio set wasn't in the back, it was in the front. I used to run that, and it was hot. It was very difficult to go on break because we had no way of communication until they gave us a walkie-talkie, and we said, hey, I'd like to take my break. Can I get somebody out here? And they said, okay, give us a few minutes. We'll get someone. And it took them a while to get somebody to come out there and cover for us until we got back. It really did. But I remember it was hot. That trailer got really hot. During the morning, not bad, but throughout the day, it got hot. The patio sets were hot. Even that, we had to fix up and clean up, too. We had to sweep out. And we even had incomplete sets in there, too, because I don't know who was doing what in there, but most of the time, they were complete. Most of the time, they weren't. And then before we opened up the store, we had to do a morning checklist to see what complete sets we have. And we had to give that to management and say, okay, this is what we have that's complete. And then they would go from there and order more of that patio set. And we even had awnings up there too and bamboo sets, bamboo tiki bars. Those bamboo tiki bars were a pain in the ass. That big box, because the boxes they came in were trash. They weren't the best quality boxes. They weren't. The parts fell out. The screws fell out. That was yeah, even when I wasn't running it, here and there, they asked me if I could go cover for the person. And I said, okay, I'll go cover. And then I relieved the person. And then they came back. And yeah, that was a lot of fun too. Man, patio season at the Christian shop was always an interesting one. Patio sets weren't complete. They were missing an umbrella. They were missing a cushion. And yeah, whenever we got those sets in, we always stacked them up. We always put the love seat together, the other seats together, so we knew how many pieces were the tables together. And every morning before we opened up for the day, we had to count how many of those sets we had each morning to let management team know what we have on hand so they could put the tickets in that. So if we had like three sets of that one set in, we put three tickets in that ticket holder. That's what the whole purpose of counting them is, because the press. Okay, so we bought tickets. We bought patio sets from Christmas shop. The displays had tickets in them, so that's why they. Another reason why they wanted us to count the patio sets in the morning, because they had to know how many tickets to put in those inserts. Like whether it was you had three sets or four sets, however many tickets we had, that's how many tickets were supposed to be in that ticket holder. Sometimes there was more than what, and the customer always complained that, oh, but I found this one in there. Don't you guys have it? Oh, and the other thing is, on the back of the ticket, we had to write the dates. We had to write the dates on the back of the ticket. Every time we sold the ticket, we had to write that date on the back of the ticket. So they kept track of the dates. And yeah, that was always, yeah. That was fun too, because If there was more tickets than what was stated by the numbers we counted, customers weren't too happy. Well, you had 6 tickets, but now you're telling me you only had 5 sets. Why was there an extra ticket there? I didn't put that extra ticket there. Whoever collected that ticket put it back in there. Yeah. Whoever collected a ticket at the end of the day or whatever put that ticket back in there. It should have said the date. Yeah, should have. But people are people. Yeah, people are, like, sometimes the other annoying thing is when people bought a set, they bought their basic car with them. They didn't bring a van or a truck or anything. They brought their, a Toyota Corolla or Camry or whatever small car they had with them. They pick up a big patio set that had like nine pieces to it. And the thing was, we could tie things to the roof, but we weren't. So whenever the customer signed the paperwork after they bought a patio set, basically we had to tell them, listen, once you sign this, we even told them this, once you sign this, we are not liable for anything that happens to your patio set once you sign this paperwork. So if they were pulling off and the patio set happened to fall off their roof and get smashed, we weren't liable because they signed that. Yeah, they signed that paperwork stating that that Christmas tree shop isn't liable for any damages that occur once the patio set is on your vehicle. Yeah, once it's on your vehicle, we're not responsible. So if you're driving away and you're on the highway and your patio set falls and gets smashed by something, not our fault, because you signed that paperwork saying that Christmas tree shop isn't liable for any damages that might occur once you leave the facilities. But we could tie this stuff to the vehicle, but we weren't liable to anything that would occur once they left the area. So that's the way it went, folks. But it was always fun getting a patio set into somebody's car that didn't have the space for that patio set. Somebody wanted us to put a 9-piece patio set in their car. We could barely get the table to the back seat. Sometimes we could fit the umbrella and the umbrella base and the chairs in the back seat. But the table, most of the time, the tables were too big for the back seat. Like, I always got annoyed when people pulled up with a small vehicle expecting to put a 9-piece patio set in it. I always got annoyed. And my other associates got annoyed, too. That was always another thing about the Christmas tree shop summers during the patio season. People showing up in their little cars expecting to get this big patio set into their car. And we were like, come on, man. How are you expecting to get this big patio set? Most of the time, the customers were like, okay, if you could hold this for me, I'll come back later and get a bigger vehicle. And we were like, okay. And we always wrote their name that it was paid for. And if somebody left, we would have to tell the next associate, hey, this customer bought this patio set. It was paid for. They couldn't fit everything, so they're going to come back later with their friend and pick it up. And, yeah, some customers were nice enough to do that. Others were like, oh, come on, get it on here. So we were, even though we were annoyed, we still had to put it on top of the roof, tie it up, and, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and they used to take those big tiki bamboo tiki bars on their roof too. Yeah, it took 2 people to put, because the one box has everything in it, had the whole bar in it, and it was like it was like the big box with the main bar and then 2 other boxes with the chairs. So that was always fun to get on somebody's car. It was took 2 people. Some patio sets only took 1 person. Man, those were the days. I tell you that much. The only thing I miss about customer pickups is the tips. We always used to get tips. Every time a customer picked up something from the back, we always got tips. $1 here, $2, $5, whatever. One time I collected about 200, if my memory serves me correct, in tips. Not in one shot. Over the course of the week, I got $200 in tips. and I got a PlayStation 3. I went to GameStop to get the PlayStation 3 because I had enough money to get a PlayStation 3. So I told the associate I'd like to buy a PlayStation 3. She said, okay. So they got it. I'm like, here you go. I gave her the whole $200 in singles. Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. I remember it. She counted in everything. After that, she had to get it in the cash register. She couldn't get all them singles in the cash register. I was somewhat embarrassed. I was laughing and somewhat embarrassed. I'm pretty sure she was like, how the fuck did this guy get all these tips? What is he, a stripper or something? No, I wasn't a stripper. I just happened to get good tips through the course of a week or two. And I put it all aside. Oh, man. But yeah, we weren't supposed to take tips, but we got tips. Because, you know, people were thankful for us loading their vehicles with the furniture that they purchased. I mean, I miss that about customer pickup. But where I work now, we don't have customer pickup, but not like Christmas tree shop customer pickup, where they pick up stuff from receiving once they purchase it from the front of the store. Whatever they buy, they don't have. The company I work for now doesn't have that. I mean, we have loaders. We have associates called loaders who load customer stuff or merchandise once it's paid for. So that's what Home Depot has. But Christmas tree shop, if you bought something, you came to receiving to pick it up once you were done shopping, once you purchased it. And like I said, they gave us tips here and there. It was very nice. It was very nice. I like that a little. I like that a little bit. I like getting tips. Man, I miss that. I miss getting tips. That was good. $200 to get a PlayStation 3. Back then, you could get a PlayStation and it wouldn't be an issue. Today, you can't even get a PlayStation 5. You can't. And they said that 5 million PlayStation 5s sold. Like, how the hell is that even possible? Scalpers. The minute PlayStation 5 comes up, scalpers buy 4 or 5 of them and overcharge them for like thousands of dollars, which is fucking ridiculous. Which is ridiculous. And people will pay that price. People will pay thousands of dollars to get a PlayStation 5. I mean, given that PlayStation 5 restacks are happening now, but as soon as they happen, they're gone. Walmart, if you are a Walmart Plus member, you have access to getting a PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. I saw on Facebook that at 3 o'clock this past week, at 3 o'clock, Walmart Plus will have a restock of PlayStation 5s, but you have to have a Walmart Plus account. See, I think that's what you should do. I think for now, they should have exclusive to that membership, whether it's a GameStop membership, Walmart membership, Costco membership, BJ's membership, Sam's Club membership, whatever membership. Those are the only people that should have access to a PlayStation 5 restock. Because if you're going to just restock at a Best Buy, a Target, it's going to go. But anyway, they're talking about PlayStation 5 Pro, that they're going to come out with a PlayStation 5 Pro. How could you think about a Pro version when you can't even sell the basic version? The basic version is still hard to get for people like me. Like, I can't get one. I know a couple of people who still can't get a PlayStation 5. My stepfather, before his passing, luckily happened to get a PlayStation 5 for my nephew. So my nephew has a PlayStation 5, which I didn't play the last time I was there. But if I ever go up again, I will give that a go. I will try that, see how that is. But yeah. But, yeah, that's the world we live in, folks. But, yeah, PlayStation 3, going to GameStop with all those tips. That was an interesting experience. My mom was laughing, too, when I handed the associate all those tips to get a PlayStation 3. Oh, man, that was a good system, PlayStation 3. Hell, even PlayStation 4, when that came out, I don't think we had this craziness. You were able to get a PlayStation 4 too. But like I said, Christmas tree shop was an interesting experience. I worked there for a long time. Met some interesting people, had ups and downs. But my years at Christmas shop were always an interesting one. Luckily, I happened to find a better company that, you know, treats you and respects you and shows you what you're worth to the company for putting in your hard work. And that's my story, folks. And next weekend, I will discuss whatever's on my mind at the moment. And thank you, everyone, for joining me for this podcast. And everyone, have a good nice weekend. And as always, ramble on, ladies and gentlemen. Take care, guys. See you next weekend. Bye.